How's it, internet? And welcome back to Two Guys in SharePoint.
The only SharePoint show in South Africa where everything is not made up and there are no points.
Awesome. I nearly forgot we had an intro video. And by nearly, I mean entirely.
That's the first time we should actually go. This is episode 76. We should go back through all the other episodes to find out if we've delivered a more perfect intro than that, Fogland, because we always add words and things. That was spotless.
That was good. That was by the book.
It was by the book.
But yeah.
When we do it by the book, we don't know what to say, right?
We don't know what to say all the other times.
If you are new to the show, we talk about all things Microsoft 365 with the quintessential love. I'm going to find the keywords to fill in that gap. The quintessential love for SharePoint, it's in the name. Right? We promise to make sure that you take away at least one thing, just one thing. One more thing, Russell. It was Russell, right? Where we think is pretty cool, and you love it. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Please try the fish. Remember that? Please tell
Thank
me.
Thank you. I'll be here. Please try the fish.
Please try the fish. Do you not remember that, Modlin? It's from, it's a song, Buddy Holly. The song Buddy Holly by Weezer, where the guy goes, please try the fish. It shipped on the Windows 95 CD that... at the original Windows 95 launch on the 28th yes. of August 1995. That video and Edie Brickell shooting rubber bands at the stars. You don't even have to try. Those two shipped on the Windows 95 CD on the 28th of August 1995. How do I know it? Because I was there.
I remember that. I did not remember what the music videos were. What the music was, but yeah, for sure. So we've got a jam-packed episode this week, right? We've got lots Can't of stuff to talk about.
Jam nitty-gritty, you're listening to the boys on the Big Bad City. This is jam hot when you said jam.
And get the straight glasses out of the 90s. Suddenly,
Can't Fly Boss Walk, jam nitty-gritty. Straight out of Compton. Modlin, yeah, I am back from New Zealand.
You are back from New Zealand. How was it, bro?
The future's so bright, you've got to wear shades. This is one of the things that one of the partners were given out. It says, if I can get the thing to focus, Microsoft. On the other side, it says Datacom. So the future's so bright, I've got to wear shades, right? But yes, jam packs. Yo, why is this a jam packed show, Modlin?
We've got a really cool topic that we want to get to, and there's a bunch of cool news. So
it's cool news because it's the first episode of the month. That's why there's a bumper news edition.
All the digests, all the roadmaps. Let's get into in the news.
Okay.
And because it's our namesake, we're going to start with SharePoint. Yay, our beloved SharePoint. There's a bunch of stuff that's happening in SharePoint. One of them I'm particularly excited for. But
do you want to skip ahead to that part, or do we start at the top?
Let's run down it. I don't know that we need to take super long with any of it, but Copilot.
You're saying that like we're going to have a big deep dive session. I don't think we're going to have a big one, but a quintessential one. But yes, Copilot Dashboard for Viva Insights. Do we care about Copilot Dashboard for Viva Insights?
Not particularly.
Okay, moving on.
It'll have to prove itself useful before I'm particularly interested. The translation thing is quite cool. So SharePoint Premium... translation is now generally available. I've worked some big internet projects back in the day that were multinational, multilingual, and they wanted everything translated into all the languages. And I had to tell them, well, are you going to translate them? Because it's not going to do it for you. But now it can. And that's really quite cool.
The University of Stellenbosch used to run, I think it was WordPress at the time. I'm going back like 14, 15 years with SharePoint 2010. And obviously you had variation labels, right? Which would translate the back end into a different language. And Microsoft South Africa at the time told South Africa, if you want a language for Afrikaans in Outlook, in Office, you know, you need to come together and motivate for us. And I think they did eventually. There's a language pack for Afrikaans when you're working in the old Office, right? The old Office client, right? So that's the ear post and things like that. But we had the variation labels where we could have that. But now you can actually translate the content, which is a powerful thing, right? So it's the content of the document that gets translated. Yeah, yeah. And back then, if we had it in 2010, it would have been a different thing
It would have been entirely different. You could do a thing where like, oh, I know where you're coming from, so I'll surface you this content instead of that content.
Yes.
But there was no way to actually translate the content. Nobody's going to actually sit there and do it. So it kind of just never happened. But now it can actually happen. And that's accessibility, man, getting stuff in your native language.
It's pretty neat. Pretty neat.
Yeah.
I'm fatigued, dude. We will be having a guest on the show in the upcoming weeks that will talk about everything Copilot. Probably going to be in April sometime, and then we'll do a deep dive into Copilot. But whenever I see Copilot today, glossy look like the glasses over my face, and I typically just scan through it, and I get off the hype train. But I mean, this is neat. Seamless single sign-on, right? Not just SSO, SSOO, SSSO. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And so, if you're doing that, that's the experience you want to have, right? Mm-hmm. If you're using Viva Topics, it's being retired. So just be aware.
The three customers that were using
Viva Topics. Yeah. Not hell of a relevant. The next
meant a lot, the topics. You know, when topic cards, right, and the whole, and then this gets into, you know, the old school fast search that they bought, right? If Microsoft, this is not a rant, maybe it is a rant today at Microsoft. If they did the right thing with fast, right, compound term processing, the semantic stuff of search, which they're now bringing into Copilot and they're calling it the semantic index, right? Away from Copilot. But we're hoping that the semantic index for Copilot is actually going to replace the promise of Viva Topics, because the construct is cool, right? Like that word cloud stuff and the semantic part of knowledge management is, I think, you're going to get out of the semantic index, which is why they're turfing Viva Topics in lieu of new AI-driven features.
Yeah, the promise of that experience is fantastic. How you get it, I don't really care, as long as you can get it if you need it, right?
We have a drum roll.
I don't know how good the noise cancellation is, but I just try to do one.
I heard it. Moving on to the next one.
We have document library templates in SharePoint again. Oh my God. How did it take this long to be able to create document library templates? Like,
you know,
in SharePoint Online.
Full circle moment, right? Full circle moment. And it comes at no better time. I've actually got a customer. We've got three customers, actually, that want to be able to templatize sites and everything, right? But I can take custom libraries with views and all of those things and I can create templates from it and then invoke it right through PNP, yeah, provisioning. Yeah. So I'm quite stoked.
Hopefully there will be PNP commandlets to actually invoke them. But like regardless, there'll be some way to do it. Oh, it's lacquer. So happy. So happy. And then my favorite bit of Office 365, lists, is getting a facelift in Teams. You're getting a progressive web app for them. It's looking good.
Look, you could do PWA with OneDrive, right?
Yes.
Or just add as an app inside of
inside of
Edge, right? Add as an app, and I use my OneDrive, the new experience, right? As an app, and it, when I switch my PC on, my Windows PC, because you can't do it on Mac, it shows up and it's there. So I really do like that experience. And the fact that they're bringing the glue closer to where people live, right? Inside of Teams, as well as a PWA, just means that the way people want to work, they're going to see lists, like in the old days, as an actual app, right? Where we could modify InfoPath 3.0, dude.
Yeah, there's a whole thing about like a new way of doing forms that is coming soon for lists, which I'm interested to see.
Oh, the new UI, yeah.
Yeah, like UI for the forms. Yeah, so like
for the forms specifically.
This is one of the most powerful things in Microsoft 365, in my opinion. Lists is so like it is so good, and it's like wildly underrated and underused, in my opinion.
Well, amazing. What happened, Modlin? What happened? They removed the UI view from SharePoint Designer, right? And then they killed InfoPath.
Yeah.
That's what happened, right? We used to build these composite applications. They called it composite sites, right? In that stupid blue wheel that we had with, I think, SharePoint 2010, composite sites. And we used to build what they called business critical SharePoint applications inside of SharePoint with these tools, right? So before y'all, Power Platform, citizen developer people showed up, right? We were the real citizen developers building things.
Yeah, so that's moved now to Power Platform, right? You make a Canvas app for that now, is what you do. But that's a slightly different...
You kids
like,
on the...
Whatever the case is. Like... you laughed at me the other day about like, oh, use something a little bit more professional than Excel to store your lists of data. Here we go. This is it. Right there. Other side. Right there. That thing. There. Lists.
Finger pointing was accurate, right? How did you do
it? It got there. Like I did it the wrong way around, but like I got there in the
end. You did it the right way. I have to point. It's bizarre.
You got to point opposite way because it's mirrored. Because we're mirrored.
All right, Copilot, when did they launch Copilot, Modlin? And now we have a new Copilot experience already. Right?
It's all Copilots all the time.
Look.
So
I can read that, right? It's this. This is an improved version of the Copilot app in Teams that you may have used before, formerly known as Microsoft 365 or M365 Chat, right? I want to know how many formerly knowns, right? We know that Viva Engage is leading. They are leading because it was Yammer, then Communities, and now Viva Engage, right? The other products have got one change, like Security Copilot is now Copilot for Security, right? And a few others with the Purview randomness that is Purview, and it already every product gets it. Can't keep up. Defender XDR, Microsoft Cloud App Security, Microsoft Defender for Cloud Apps. I mean, the list goes on and on. And now we're seeing that same experience now cloned as or termed as the new Copilot experience, the artist previously known as Microsoft 365 Jacked.
I think what's going to happen, right, is we're getting all these different co-pilots all over the place, and they're going to come back together. Like some of it's going to homogenize again, somewhere. You can have
one app, just one. One co-pilot to rule them all, we'll right?
Or what will probably end up happening is we'll have co-pilot. So you can have a co-pilot to help you manage your different co-pilots.
That exists, dude, but it's with a small C, right? You can, well, you're the power platform guy, right? So you can build a co-pilot, which is a small C, from a Microsoft Big C Copilot Studio, right?
Yes.
That you can do now. Yes? Yeah. Right, now, Clipchamp, captions in Clipchamp, hide general channels, neat feature. What is this
That's kind of cool.
Apple Vision OS.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of the Vision OS, have you checked? They've all started cracking down the middle.
No, really?
Yeah, because the glass is tempered on both sides, and apparently that's screwing with the thermals. Because when it heats up when you use it, and then it cools down, and because it's got two layers of lamination on it.
Oh, I've got to speak to John Moore about this.
Cool's funny, and there's a bunch of just
he nice spent big the crack money
all the way up the middle.
He spent the money on getting V1. And is that it for SharePoint? Are we good?
Yeah, I think that's
some team stuff in here.
Yeah, because SharePoint is everywhere. We don't know
what's more
right?
prolific, Teams or Copilot. It's the glue. Glue, right? It's your content delivery network. That's what it is. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Anyhow, moving on.
Moving on into to teams. Actual Teams.
Did you actually look at this? I have not gone through this, Modlin. So this is a lot of things. But this is
there's stuff, right?
Like new
copilot. It's the same copilot stuff, right? You get more management on your activity feed, which is fine. Like that's good to do it. Some new layouts, content sharing in together mode. Sure, and then it's a bunch of devices and stuff. Okay. So. There's Copilot, there's some UI updates, which is good, right? Good they're iterating on it. But largely, for us, I think, largely meaningless.
Well, funnily enough, I've actually got a Teams Rooms project on the go right now.
Of course you do.
So you actually got nothing to do with the device.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with the device, right?
What devices are you using?
Don't care. I actually don't care. I don't touch the device. I touch the API, right? So with Teams Rooms, you can book a room, right? And you can have attendees in the room. Now, from what I understand, you can extract that data from the API. Yeah. Now, think about a 40, 50-story building, yeah? And your offices are on the 20th floor. The building is managed by a security company. You come in there, hi, my name is Slim Shady, right? And somehow they need to know that you are actually approved to get in the lift or elevator and go up to the 20th floor and then go to that office's reception. So we're going to API pull
it. It'd be nice when you booked it.
Also an option, right? But I mean, I'm not going to build a. I'd have to think about that one to automate that. So typically, all we're going to do at the end of the day for the next day, grab that data. And then integrate into the building security management system via their API and update that. These are the people or the attendees for tomorrow's.
That's cool.
Here's my guest for the day, right? And then they get let in, they go up to the 40th floor. And so, yes, I am doing things with Teams Rooms, but not with the device, right? And that facility is there. Calendar views. This is device. Cool. You know, if your NUC is running Android and not Windows embedded, because those are the two flavors that you get for Teams Rooms, right? You get an Android device. So Yealink does really cool stuff. The neat stuff, it's either Android. Those other guys, I can never remember their name, but you got the option to either manage the underlying OS is Windows, always Android. Some people prefer Windows from an image perspective. And then you've got this thing sitting on top of it. So there's a new calendar for Teams Rooms on top of Android, which is neat. So you can have that screen that's on the outside of the door to check the meetings for that specific room, right? It's a, like a companion device that
because you connect to. Because those are your... always up to date.
I know what building you've been in. That's not up to date, right? But yes, you do have that functionality. More Android stuff, Windows PC, certified Teams Rooms. What is this? Audio Codes? They're delivering some stuff. Who were those people, man? I can never, it's not Jabra. It's the meat guys. I can never remember. What are those lights? Oh, lights. Ooh, neat. Yeah, Link, still the most cost-effective things out there. How many Teams, what? Is this post almost done? More people things, more integration, Jira integration. Health condition management. Wow, this is actually quite neat. In Teams, why would you want... why would you want... In Teams, it's just so that your organization can neural link into your body because you've got an Oura ring and they're checking your blood pressure, your path, more rubbish. Teams are done. Modern Teams are done. We can move on. Literally, it's done. It's just devices this month. Device, 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 more device, and then some random shit about Copilot. So nothing really that, you know, is going to impress our audience. So for those who are listening to us on the audio side, you can literally skip past this because there's nothing of interest this month in Teams. Yeah. Is it fair to say, model?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much covers it for sure.
Okay. What is the next thing in the news? 365. Do you actually look at this? The monthly admin digest.
I often skim it just to see if there's anything that's relevant to me. I'm not doing this sort of admin work currently. So, yeah, I'm much more cool the front-end guy. I'm not doing the back-end stuff. So, yes, why is this important stuff? Well,
for M365 administrators, right, outside of sitting inside of the M365 admin center, not the other admin centers, just the M365 admin center, being able to look at the service health, right, and all the other reports and things, that's pretty cool. Also being able to, if you follow Daryl and Dan on the 365 Message Center show, I'm giving them a shout out and hopefully they can give us a shout out on their show. They literally live inside of the message center. And most 365 admins live inside of the message center to make sure that, all of a sudden some new feature shows up and I don't know how to deal with it. They'll live in the message center. So this is really what's happening inside of the M365 admin center to give these admins a better heads up as to what's coming from an administrative perspective, not from a release management perspective when you start looking at the roadmap stuff, right? So the unified domain that's now coming through, so it's cloud.microsoft. I think we've seen it with Loop. I can't remember what other product is going to have that cloud.microsoft, right? But now, like, the service health status is now status.cloud.microsoft. Network connectivity as well. There's that page inside of the admin center where you can check where your front door is and a few other things. I think that's where you check your front door. But there's a new page new interface page that's going to give you some cool things around network performance. So if you need to deploy a CDN inside of your environment or an eCDN, not a CDN, because Microsoft now has their own CDN. So the CDN companies like Collective and Hive and a few others are no longer in the race to sell you an eCDN. They've actually moved on to platforms like Cisco because they get better traction there. So being able to see what your network activity is doing so that when your CEO complains about shitty network quality, you can tell him that it's actually his bad Wi-Fi in his house and not the internet. Balance between speed and productivity, we've seen that. Again, some more conference stuff, which we'll talk about in a bit. And again, Copilot. All right, moving on. I'm fatigued with the Copilot stuff.
Moving swiftly along.
Two Copilot in OneDrive.
Well, you can't be fatigued yet because we're going to OneDrive. This is interesting stuff. The Copilot in OneDrive, this is one use of the Copilot stack that seems really cool, right? Where you can point it at your files and say, oh, what was that file that Mary sent me last week? And it can tell you, right? Or here's a 500-page document. Oh, don't you just want to summarize it for me? And it'll give you a summary, right? This sort of use case seems actually really useful, right? It's got questions and answers from Copilot, again, based on the documentation, right? So how much was that proposal that I did last week? And I can pull the answer for you.
It shouldn't be sitting in your personal OneDrive if you did a proposal.
Yeah, sure. And that's half of the issue here, right? This will only run on your OneDrive. Although OneDrive is just SharePoint. So there's going to be a
SharePoint. It's contextually aware, right?
Yeah.
It's contextually aware, right? So I like the idea. So for me, right, we're OneDrive, and we're going to see it in another product in a bit, but being able to do administrative tasks for you, not just front-end stuff, I see some value in that. So, you know, insight from your files, natural language, because the promise of natural language queries have been around forever, you know, and then also being able to do the necessary stuff that you can do with Copilot and Word, PowerPoint, and Excel. You can now start doing it inside of OneDrive as a native Copilot, not having to open up Word, open up the file, and then do it, right? So that's pretty neat. And I do like the idea of it sitting in your personal space, right? And now you're using it for personal, well, not personal tasks, but sort of personal task like management, not tasks, group task management like you're doing SharePoint. Yeah.
So yeah, it's very interesting to me. I do think this is one of the great use cases for this sort of technology. It's part of the Microsoft 365 Copilot for Microsoft,
the thing.
So you got to pay for it and whatever. So we'll see how much adoption it gets in my client base. I'm assuming it's going to be kind of minimal, but man, wouldn't it be cool? And in a few years, maybe it gets cheaper, right? It's just,
have you noticed on my
superconductor
Mac? You can't see it on my Mac, but you see that little window that's popped up there? It'll actually tell me the memory usage of this specific tab in Chrome.
Okay. But it's Chrome, so isn't it just all of it? The answer is, how much memory does Chrome use? And the answer is all of it.
All of it. It's like SQL, right?
Yeah.
What's new in OneDrive? Or not OneDrive. Yes, come see what's new in OneDrive. If you are heading out to the Microsoft 365 Community Conference in Orlando in April, at the end of April this year, there's quite a few new things that they'll be announcing there. They did it last year at the M365 conference. It's sort of like, not a mini Ignite, but it's the Ignite for M365. So they will be also demoing quite a lot at this conference. So head over to m365conf.com. And if you are in the US or you have money to fly from South Africa to the UK, to Orlando, you know, please come along, join us. I'll be there speaking about security stuff and Zero Trust. Very segue. Cool. So very excited about this conference, and we'll talk about other conferences.
Okay, a couple things there. First of all, it's not a segue unless you actually move on to the other topic. And secondly, I'm going to make a call right now, a prediction that 77% of the stuff spoken about at that conference is going to be Copilot branded.
I do have now with added Copilot in both my sessions.
Yeah, because you gotta.
You do have to, yeah. So hold on, another Copilot thing before we go into bookings. Copilot has officially arrived in OneNote.
Yay. Like last episode, we were joking. And the episode before that too, like joking, like, oh, everything's going to have its own Copilot. And then turns out, no, everything's got its own Copilot. Cool.
So I like the idea of having a, you know, your companion in every single Microsoft app. That's cool. And I dig the idea of having Copilot in OneNote. Administratively, I want to know if Copilot will do administrative tasks. Matt, you know Matthew Levy, right? He's hit upper limits of the amount of OneNotes you can actually have. He's got tens of thousands of OneNotes. He asked the question today, if Copilot for OneNote will be able to dedupe my OneNotes and consolidate his OneNotes. Yeah.
That seems like something it should be able to do, right? That seems like something right up its alley. No.
We don't know if, because Copilot's not an administrative thing, right? It's always been front-end stuff, right? But can it do admin for you?
Can it do work, right?
Yes. Like administrative tasks, like consolidate all, go find me all OneNotes that have the reference. Go and look at all my OneNotes, all 10, 20,000 of them, and come back and tell me where the duplications are. How long is it going to
take? And then remove the duplicates, right? That's only useful if you could say, then remove them. Still have to
and,
go
and put them into one, take all the pages and put it into one thing that says archive. That's proper part. The last segment in the news, or the last bit of news, Microsoft bookings, right? Do you run a hair salon in a building? Then bookings is that for you, right? So, and funnily enough, if you look at buildings like Talishaw in Stan City, right? They've got multiple floors and they've got a travel agent. Old Mutual's got the same thing and a few other massive organizations where you can buy food, you can book your spa treatment and all of these things. This would work for an organization like that, right? Because the hair salon can use bookings. The travel agent can use bookings. The insurance broker can use bookings.
Yeah, you can.
So it goes a long way.
It's very small business focused.
Possibly. Anyhow, I think that's it for us around what is actually in the news.
So did we get through the news?
We did get through
the news. Wow, we did it, Al.
With that's why I said the deep dive is not that deep. Especially when we start looking at what's available. This should just be a news show with no deep dive, right? Because we're 33 minutes in, right? And we've got maybe 10 minutes of deep dive. And then we have to do your thing. All right. Well, having said that, I suppose...
And your thing. This thing is... Hey, news.
Was that the news intro? I'm not going to edit. I just realized that I can
edit the
blooper out, right? Right? I can edit the blooper out there. Right?
You can. Are you going to edit it out?
I might.
Yeah, like 20 to 1, you're not going to. Now you have to edit this out too.
I'm just going to leave it in. So the title of today's show is really around building zero trust into SharePoint and Teams, right? And because this is a responsible podcast, right, we do need to talk about responsible things, not just the cool things like a document library template, which we're very excited about. The, you know, old school SharePoint people, the hip hop, don't stop, you know. If there was a problem, you know, I'll solve it. This is the hip hop edition. Right? I'm actually going to edit hip hop edition.
Apparently.
I was watching something and it was about, you know, they were playing LL Cool J in the background, you know. I'm going to take this little city by storm and I'm just getting warm, right? So coming back to, you know,
I taking this complain. Little city by storm. I was listening to Snoop today.
Okay.
Yes, zero trust.
Zero trust. And we've heard a lot about zero trust. What does it actually mean? Why is it important? And how is it important to customers using SharePoint and Teams, right? Because it's not zero trust is not just some weird firewall that you drop in your building and ICANN has, you know, security, right? It's a concept, it's a construct, it's something that you need to live and breathe. And I actually talked about this at the Digital Workplace Conference in New Zealand last week, right? And my session was based on safeguarding business data using Microsoft Zero Trust Adoption Framework, who, coincidentally, the company that I work for, NB Consult, we actually co-authored it with Microsoft. And I'll leave a link in the chat to that. So for me, it's important for organizations to understand what Zero Trust is, and not just from a, you know, you've got a SharePoint admin, you've got a Teams admin. There's security things that they do need to understand, like oversharing, because the SharePoint admin controls that unless you're deploying a conditional access policy, and that sits with identity and access management admins. So how do you draw a line, and how do you make sure that organizations or administrators, Teams admins, SharePoint admins, if there is a OneDrive admin that's split from the SharePoint admin, what they actually need to worry about? And the first thing is to understand what Zero Trust is, right? And it's vitally important that we understand the tenets behind Zero Trust, right? And it's super simple. You start off with assuming breach. So assume that there's a nefarious character, and I'm speaking at 1.5 times the speed of sound because we are running out of time. And if anyone wants me to do a deep dive session on this, happily just hit us up in the chat, find us on Twitter. And if you're listening to the audio side of this, happily present on this topic. So assume breach, assume that there's a nefarious character is in your house. There's someone that's broken in your house. How do you get them out of the house, right? Verify explicitly and also use least privilege. So when you verify explicitly, because everything's around identity, and we're going to jump into that in a bit, but those are the three tenets of Zero Trust. Assume breach, verify explicitly, and use least privilege. Now, Modlin, we've been doing least privilege since the beginning of time, right? That's what SharePoint is. If you are in two SharePoint groups, the one with the least amount of permissions actually apply, right? So we've got that already pre-baked into the product, right? And you can't be in two Teams groups. Good point, right? You need to fix your permissions, otherwise Copilot won't, right? So it's really about 101, the last 30 years of our lives. Well, at least the last 30 years, 29 years of mine. No, the last 20 years of my life, I've been telling people.
Yeah.
Information management. 10 plus. So those are the constructs, right? When we actually look at why we care about this and where you should start with identity, right? So why is identity important? Because nefarious characters are not hacking your firewall in Microsoft 365. They're not hacking the firewall. There's no denial of service shit, right? That's gone. Microsoft takes care of all of that. So nobody's hacking portal.office.com. Nobody's doing it. But what they are doing is they're compromising your identity. It's identity theft. They're stealing your identity. So how do you go about protecting your identity and also making sure that the identity, right, that has access to SharePoint and Teams is managed correctly? Yeah. So follow me with this, right? So identity is important because we've got three parts to this. What is identity? It's an entity that lives inside of your directory services site. And in this case, in the cloud, it's Microsoft Entra ID, right? And they literally do two things. We authenticate the user. Yeah.
Yep.
And then once authenticated based on whatever principles, we then authorize the user, I think SharePoint group or, you know, direct, or we don't talk about giving users direct access to anything in SharePoint, but think about the SharePoint group, right? From an authorization. So I am Alistair Pugin. You verify my identity, right? You authenticate me. MFA password, whatever that looks like. And then based on that, I get authorized inside of SharePoint and Teams. I get authorized to access content sitting inside of SharePoint. Yeah. So that's why identity is important. And when we look at the Zero Trust architecture, it starts with everything that's on the left. Identities and endpoints. Right? I'm not going to talk about endpoints today. I'm just going to talk about identities. So if you protect your identity, the risk of, or not the risk, but being able to safeguard business data, ergo data that's stored in SharePoint and Teams, starts with making sure that your identity is protected, or the way you manage identities out of your organization. Microsoft's got a couple of products. You know, there's identity protection or workload ID or the intro, the AID, the governance side, and then also tools like Defender for Identity and a few other tools. There's a bunch listed. This is a nice slide. This is part of the Microsoft Cybersecurity Reference Architecture. I'll also leave that link in the chat. But there's a lot of things you can do that you have to do, like things like the following slide. Not this one. I'm going to skip this because we're running out of time, but we can actually stay here. So when you look at stuff inside of Entra ID, right, or Microsoft Entra, the big one, and I've actually got a slide. Where is the slide? This one. This one. This one. So actually,
one of these.
In the time, I would talk to all of them. So what's important to organizations, or at least what you should be doing inside of your organization, is actually building out conditional access policies. Build out a conditional access policy. And why we do that? Because at the center of a conditional access is this massive risk evaluation engine that will decide whether or not to allow the user in and also be able to decide what. So signal, decision, and force. That's really the three tenets of conditional access. Signals, you measure, okay, I'm sitting at a coffee shop in Uzbekistan. Do we trust the user? Or do we risk profile him as a risky login or high on the security side? Once they're in, are they coming from a managed device? If they're not, what does that risk profile look like? And then what do we decide to do on the user side when we enforce the policy? Do we give them limited access? Do we send them through CASB, the Microsoft Defender for Cloud Apps, so that everything's in the browser? There's no thick client functionality. Do we reinforce the authentication protocols like, hey, I want you to give me some MFA because you're not in the building? And then also other things that I can do, right? If I think that this account's been compromised, I'm going to force a password reset, right? Because an impossible travel policy has been breached, right? The guy logs in from Cape Town, an hour later is logging from Uzbekistan, right? That's why it's important to build the use conditional access policies to enforce identity, conditional access, CAZT, conditional access zero trust, or using conditional access for zero trust inside of your organization. Because if the identity is compromised, that's it, tickets, the guy's in your building. He's literally in your building. Yeah, whatever that what he has access to, he's going to have access to, right? And then it's a data leak, not even a data loss. It's a data leak. They take your data, gone. You know, so make sure that you start worrying about identity, because it's the identity that has access to everything that's sitting inside of SharePoint and Teams.
Another thing to just note there is when you're doing those conditional access policies, you got to pay attention to the hardware that the people are logging in from, right? If they're not on company hardware, it should be more difficult for them. You got to make sure their company hardware is up to date properly. Like, you got to make sure that's secure, and that can all feed into the pipeline, right? You got to lock it down from beginning to end.
Remember that slide, right, the big one, where on the left-hand side, it talked about identities and endpoints, right? Now, endpoints is obviously the device you're coming in from. So with Intune, if you've got the right Microsoft license, say any ME license, a 3 or a 5, you get Intune with it, which is device management. And then you can make sure that the device, this is what deems a device compliant. So latest OS, latest patch levels, all the CVEs are there. You need some sort of antivirus, and you can do all of those things, and then you deem the device compliant. So there's a bunch of controls,
signals. Doesn't get in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you can decide what to do, right? You might find that this person's traveling with his spouse, right? His or her spouse, and the notebook explodes. And now they need to log in from an unmanaged device. So in that case, you will give them, you can still give them access to the platform, but they can't download anything. You can run
and
it.
That should be an exceptional. That should be an exception, right?
I need to read the document and hit the approve button. There's just so much that you can do, but being able to risk profile like an insurance company, you have to do the same. Yeah, when it comes to managing identities inside of your environment, because you want to protect the identity more than anything else. You know, more than external sharing. Forget worrying too much about external sharing. Worry about the identity, right? Because the external sharing, it's one document or maybe it's a library. If someone gets in, they've got access to multiple libraries. So start with identity, threat detection and response, IDTR, and get that done based on zero trust principles. And then SharePoint will be secure. Well, mostly secure. You're going to get someone sharing files for the wrong reason. But we'll talk about information protection.
You've got to train your people too. Got to train your people.
So my take home for the deep dive today is to make sure that you make identity a priority inside of your organization before you start worrying about external sharing and all of the other bits and pieces that come with both SharePoint and Teams, right? Yeah. All right. And that's it for deep dive. That's it for deep dive, Mr. Modern.
Shallow dive.
It's a shallow deep dive, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's if like you a diving do, pool. Yeah, just don't dive into it. You'll break your face on the floor. If you do want to get more into this, because it's a very important topic, and there is a lot more to unpack here. So get into the comments down below after you've liked the video and subscribed to the channel. And tell us that so we can have a bigger discussion about that. Not on the first episode of the month, so we've got a bit more time for it. But moving swiftly along.
So we're gonna this is our main channel. We're gonna have a second deep dive channel, where we can go an hour and 40 minutes.
Are we now? Okay.
I've always wanted one, and this is a perfect reason to have
like a second. But why don't we get this channel going before we start talking about a second channel?
Okay. I'm going to skip over noteworthy things, right? Do we even have to go through noteworthy things? There's one noteworthy thing that I do want to talk about. Microsoft Ignite is back, people. Is back. Microsoft Ignite this year is, yes, in Chicago at an actual conference center that takes more than 10,000 people.
Like
I'm
a real
going,
conference.
Irrespective if like a real conference, irrespective. I'm going as an attendee. I don't care. I'm going. I need
cool.
to get back to... I don't care. I'm going. I haven't been back since 2019, but I'm super excited for an actual four-day in-person conference in a massive conference venue in Chicago.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Super amped. Anyhow, that's it for us around noteworthy things. We do have some other announcements, but we'll keep that for a fortnight's, I'm sure, because it's still noteworthy. And now we move on to the penultimate segment of the day. So I feel about
yes, my go with the flow. My go with the flow this week is.
I've read the show notes. I read the show notes around your go with the flow.
Yeah. My go with the flow this week, there's something new in preview in Power Platform. You will be able to call SQL Server stored procedures directly from your PowerFX. Which is so cool. You get to choose. So what it looks like from the interface, you can pick, here's my SQL Server. Here are the various store procedures in it. This one's safe. This one's not. Let me run these and these and these. Yes, Alistair.
Raise hand, right? I have a question. So if you connect to SQL Server, do you need a data connection gateway so that you can actually connect to it and a premium connector for this functionality to work?
You need a premium connector, yes. If it's not on-prem SQL, if it's in the cloud, then you don't need an on-prem data gateway. If it's on-prem, then yes, you need an on-prem data gateway. And it will always be a premium connector, yes. Okay. If it's not in Office 365, it's a premium connector.
Did I say the right things?
You did. I knew things. You made all the right noises. I'm super proud of you. Well done. But that's super cool. I love SQL as a data source. Like, I think it's my favorite data source. Turns out it's a really good data source. So being able to run your stored procedures like directly in PowerFX is like, that's cool, man. I don't have to go write a flow to go run the stored procedure that then returns it to the app so that, like, no, you can just do it. Cool. Really cool.
All right.
That's my go with
the flow. I added value to Rod's go with the flow. First time ever. Actually, no, when you did PowerShell Commandlet of the Week, sometimes I did, right? But you haven't gone back to that. Crazy time.
I haven't gone back. There's lots of cool flow stuff. If there's no cool flow stuff, I'll go back to the PowerShell Commandlet.
Well, it's no longer, it's Graph Commandlet now, right? You're no longer doing PowerShell. All the PowerShell
PowerShell is still a thing you can do. PNP exists as well. Like, there is still stuff.
People are moving to Graph. Get on the Graph train. Get on the
Graph train. I actually had a discussion about that with somebody today, and they're like, how are you with PowerShell? And I was like, well, actually, I used to be really good, but it turns out, like, it's not as useful as it used to be, because some stuff you just can't do. You just have to use the Graph.
You can do it. You have to do it in Graph.
Yeah, you're going to do it in the Graph.
Is that it, Modlin?
That is it, Alistair. We made it to the end of the episode.
Are we going to say that this is an hour-long podcast? Because we've been trying since 2016 to keep it under 43 minutes. And last month, I think it was 59 minutes, right? So I don't know why we rushed through the deep dive. We've still got 8 minutes left. We actually need to get this right. I'm going to put it in the show notes. This podcast runs for an hour, 59 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Then I didn't have to torpedo through deep dive.
Yeah, like either that or we need to do either a deep dive or the news. What do you guys think listening to this?
So do you want more deep dives and less news, or do you want more news and less deep dives? So here's my recommendation. We do news.
Do you want it split out into separate episodes? What's a good length for you? Give us some feedback.
You moderating, Modlin?
I will moderate. I will moderate the bejesus out of all of that. All of that being said, thank you so much. Yeah? No, you wanted to say a thing?
No, I was going to say wrap it up, right? Because we're burning daylight.
Yeah, but you interrupt me while I'm busy doing that. Thank you all so very much for listening, watching, wherever it is you're doing this. We're on YouTube. We're on all the podcast apps of choice. If you want to find the other places we are online, we have a website, twoguys and sharepoint.co.za. We're also on Twitter at twoguyssharepoint. I'm on Twitter at oddmodlin. Alistair is
at odd. No, I was going to say at oddmodlin. I'm not at oddmodlin. I'm at Alistair Pugin.
And that's all we've got.
What does it say? Why does it say D hashtag DFTBA? What is that, Modlin? He's frozen. You were frozen. You pulled a face.
Was I frozen? Did I not make it out by saying that's it from everything? See you again in 2 weeks.
And then I asked, what's the hashtag in the show notes? What's the hashtag in the show notes? DFTBA.
Don't forget to be awesome.
It's like ILYSM. I love you so much.
The Green Brothers introduced it to me, and they're two of my favorite humans at the moment. So I stole it.
Okay. Yeah. Jake Free, I love you so much. Yes. Cool YouTuber. Are you frozen again, Modlin?
I think I'm having issues.
Okay, well, good thing it's the end of the show.
Yeah.
Thanks you all. Thank you all for listening, watching, and we'll catch you in 2 weeks. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.